the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Brains, I have to be a good hostess. I had to go get Hope Fitzgerald some coffee, you know. She's here to visit with us, San Diego, California. She's beamed in via Zoom. This is going to be interesting because I had no idea. Have you ever heard of dowsing? What that is? Well, that's an ancient way of detecting minerals and water in the ground. And they use a very interesting instrument. She's going to tell us all about it. The instrument looks like a tuning fork also, but you got to be tuned into some high frequency, and water is a conductor of electricity. I know that much. So, Braze, we want to welcome her here to the Edge, Hope Fitzgerald. Hello, how are you?
Hi, April. I'm doing great, thank you. So nice to see you.
I know, me and the Brains are happy to have you here. We're going to learn something. We're going to learn something new, and I'm excited about this. So tell us a little bit about you, Hope Fitzgerald.
Well, in many ways, I'm just a normal gal, except that about 10 years ago, I sort of went down the rabbit hole in terms of a spiritual renaissance, really. Mm-hmm. I've always been a spiritual person. Really, since I was a kid, I was always curious. I learned to meditate when I was a teenager. I went to a place called Findhorn in northern Scotland when I was in my young 20s. And I've been absorbing different philosophies, different religions, different alternative ways of looking at things and experiencing life. I became a healer. I just did a lot of different things, but it was my own private Idaho in a way. It was my, it was just me and doing my thing. And I didn't really integrate it too much in my social life. And then about 24 years ago, I was taking a feng shui class because I was doing home interior and exterior rearrangements. Mm-hmm. And they now call it house staging, but this right. was back in the day when actually I kind of came up with that name because I used to be in theater. Anyway, and so I took this feng shui class. I was living in Dallas at the time. And
I love Dallas.
fun town. And there was this gal who had a small group of us come together, and every class was held in a different person's home. So on the Tuesday night that they were coming to my house, she walked in the door with a whole bunch of wire coat hangers. And she proceeded to cut them up with wire cutters into these L shapes. And she was talking the whole time, but nobody knew what she was really alluding to. And then she handed everybody two of these coat hangers. And so they look something like this. These are not coat hangers, but you can see the shape of them. Okay, so it's short on one end and long on the other end. So really it's like the letter L, right?
Right.
Okay. So the idea is that you hold the rod with this on the end that has a sleeve. Can you see that I can turn that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that the rod can spin within the sleeve, and I'm not making it. I'm telling it to spin now. I'm not moving my hand, right? Now spin the other direction, please.
Shut the door.
So she told us that this is called dowsing. And that it can be used, as you said, for finding water. And everybody went into my backyard, and they're holding their little wire hangers, and they started taking baby steps and asking to please be shown where the water main was. And just like you just did, I went, no way, because every person took these baby steps and their rods would cross right over the water line. And I said, okay, what's this? Because by then I'd learned a lot of things, and this was new to me. Well, excuse me, I started to experiment. She said, you can also douse for what is the most auspicious date for something or time. And you know, you weren't just relegated to working with things in the earth. So I kind of went into my closet, literally, with my little wire hangers. And I said, okay, I'm gonna ask some really dumb questions, you know, just to see what happens. So I said, well, is the sky purple? Which actually in Dallas it could be, but it wasn't that day. And I said, so is the sky purple? Please show me a yes. And the yes was when the rods would come in. That's yes for me. No is when the rods go out. So ever so slowly, the rods start to move in. And then I asked some other question, or excuse me, they start to go out. And then I asked a yes question and they came in. So that was the beginning. And I just played with it for a little while. And then slowly but surely, I started asking questions that actually had a little risk involved, a little stakes involved, right? And slowly I developed this relationship with my rods. Now, you can imagine that, and I think all your brains can imagine.
Because they got big brains.
But our brains can get in the way when you're asking a question, you're asking for guidance, and I know they do. We ask a question.
Take your time, honey. You know, you at my house. We kick back and go get some water. You good? Because we want to hear this.
I got some water right here.
All this, okay? I'm scared of them wire hangers.
Well, I understand, because when we're really confronted, and this is what I'm talking about, when you're really asking a question, you're asking for guidance, you're asking for truth. Mm. Sometimes we don't really want to know. Mm. Or sometimes the truth isn't what we want to hear because we thought we had another idea. So then the question is, and this is when we move from the brain into the heart, into our intuition, into our guidance system, and we trust. See? Mm. And when we do that, then we open up the door for all kinds of things to happen. All kinds of wonder. It might not make sense to us here, but it does make sense on a larger scale. So I did that, and over time, over years, developed a real language with it, with dowsing. And I would say that 90% of dowsing is how you ask the questions, how you step way back from all assumptions and ask the questions. So eventually I started dowsing for other people, and they would come back to me and say, well, that was exactly right. It's not what I thought was right at the time, but that's exactly how it played out. And so I have been using it now for, you know, 30 something years.
Okay, so now you can you go and buy these? What do you call the instrument?
Okay, so dowsing has multiple tools. Many, many people, and I'm sure many of your brains have pendulums.
Right.
A pendulum, which can be made from anything, a twig and a you know, little acorn. I mean, really, you can make a pendulum out of anything. That is a form of dowsing. I use pendulums in healing. I use pendulums to clear energy. I use them for all kinds of stuff. But these are called L rods. And I like these for the kind of work I do. The reason it's called intuitive dowsing is because for me, when I start to douse for someone, a little door opens and my intuition gets plugged in. And then I start to see things, hear things, entire phrases, and the guidance starts to flow. And so that's the intuitive part. And I didn't know I kept myself in a silo. I didn't know, this is way before the internet when I started this, I didn't know there were other dowsers out there. Turns out there's a whole dowsing societies. There's here in the U.S.
Really?
Multiple. Yeah.
Did you know
been
that?
Around.
There's a whole dowsing community out there. I had no idea. And if I did, I would be looking for well water or clean water. I wouldn't have any idea that it was connected to spirituality, but again, the flow of energy. I get that. So when you started, these things started to come and manifest, did you get a little nervous? Did you like, you know, this is...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And every time I had, it would be like, you know, stair step. I was nervous in the beginning and then I got comfortable with it. And then I started asking riskier questions. I got nervous again. And then I got comfortable when I decided to choose what they told me to do. Mm-hmm. And it played out well. That gave me more trust to ask for the next level up when, you know, I had a scarier question. So all along the way, I would say, you know, the first 5 years, there were these thresholds that I would reach. And then there was a situation where my rods were insistent. I was given these strange symptoms that drove me to pick up my rods and find out what these symptoms were about. And what they were trying to do was to get my attention to tell me that we needed to move. And they gave me a specific date to put the house on the market. I wasn't looking to move. It seemed kind of crazy, but looking back now, I put the house on the market on that day and had three offers, sold it for full price that week, and absolutely that next day, the real estate bubble started to burst. And
so you ask these questions, but you have to ask very specific questions. I mean, you know, it's not like a Ouija board that is going to spell it out for you, okay?
Right.
You have to ask like specific yes and no type of questions to actually connect. Is this connecting with a higher source? I know it's connecting with the water. I'm just really kind of wondering where this frequency is coming from to give you answers to specific questions.
It's a great question, April, and when I discovered that there were other dowsers out there and societies, and they have conferences, and I've gone to them and met wonderful people, and there are as many different kinds of dowsers as there are people. Mm. So they may have different answers to that question than I do. My understanding is that my guidance system is direct to the universe. So we don't mess around with a lot of things in between. So it comes straight down the chute and it comes straight out my mouth. That doesn't mean that if I'm dowsing for somebody else, let's say I'm dowsing for you, I might have your guides in the mix. They may be in there too. But for me, and I'll only speak for me, I'm working with the universe, universal wisdom.
But you're in a very spiritual place. You were talking about that house. Now, Brains, I want you to know, we're talking about sustainable, renewable. Tell our Brains about your environmental palace.
Well, it was my dream for 10 years to build a greenhouse. And so I had a thick file full of all the techniques that I collected along the way that I thought were great. I really had no idea that I would ever get that opportunity. I had always done renovations and improvements that way, but anyway, I finally had this opportunity when my dowsing rod said that we needed to move, what I was telling you earlier. Mm-hmm. We were being told to move to a different state and to this region that I live in, which is the Berkshire Hills of Western Massachusetts, which are absolutely beautiful. And little did I know that there is a very strong healing pulse in the land here. It's almost like living in a bubble.
Wow.
In this region.
Wow.
Many, many healing clinics here, and there always have been, also many artists, creatives, etc. So it's a special place. And finally, after looking for about a year and a half, we found this house. It turned out it needed to come down. We picked it apart. We saved a lot of things, antique house. And then we built a house that is LEED certified, which is leadership in environmental building, basically. Mm-hmm. It's got foot thick walls. It's made with what's called insulated concrete forms, which are styrofoam, picture a styrofoam cement block, but it's hollow, but it's made with styrofoam, and you stack them, and then you pour cement down the middle. Mm. And that gives you a very insulated wall, which allows for a lot of window. And we have geothermal, and we have solar panels. I mean, we have a lot of things in place so that we're not using fossil fuels, and we're selling energy back to the grid. And I reused a lot of elements out of the old house, the flooring, the stairs, the windowsills, all kinds of stuff, because I didn't want to have to, I'm recycling, basically. So
absolutely, absolutely. And you have a love for flowers. I have a love for flowers, too. You took the cutest postcard pic next to those yellow flowers. Tell us about your gardening.
Well, I just was gardening this morning, starting to take things down because it's fall here. I have, you know how you can take too much at the buffet and end up with a mound of food?
Yeah, I know.
I'm sort of like that with gardens. I have a massive appetite, so I have many gardens, and I love them. When I was at Findhorn, this community in northern Scotland, which if you don't know about, I highly recommend looking it up. They taught how to have relationships with the plant devas. And so, and that makes them thrive, recognizing that there is a consciousness in all the plants and, of course, animals and stones and trees and everything else.
Right.
But I just love to work with them and give a lot of food for the pollinators and the hummingbirds and all of that. So I spend a lot of time doing it.
Mr. Magnificent has a girlfriend, a hummingbird. Let me tell you, yes, in our front yard, he named her Summer Blossom. I told her if she didn't get out my yard sucking on my nectar, I was going to hurt her. She comes and she literally lands on his shoulder. And birds don't do that. She loves him. It's the same bird all the time. So that's very interesting. And also you built a walking out of stone. You built
a labyrinth.
A labyrinth. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And how did I build that? Dowsing. That's how you, yes, because you know, people love labyrinths and they think, oh, well, I want to put a labyrinth right there. But that's not how you do a labyrinth. You put a labyrinth where the land wants the labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
So I walked out the front door. I said, which direction? It told me where to go. And then it the land gave me the layout.
Wow. So when you are not walking in your garden, or dowsing, you're doing some bluegrass.
my daughter is.
So your daughter's in the bluegrass? What is bluegrass? Now, you know, I'm into country music, but what is bluegrass?
Well, bluegrass came out of Kentucky initially. Kentucky bluegrass, right?
Okay.
So, but it came out of country music. I think actually it preceded country music. So it was Appalachia, it was all the people who traveled down through Appalachia, they'd come over from Ireland or whatever country they came from with this an instrument they could carry. And they made their way down through Canada, down through Appalachia. And so they had fiddles, they had finger playing things, they had a banjo. They had guitars, small guitars, and eventually this music, became popular because this guy discovered it, basically recorded it, and then the country in the.
Because it does. It has a different twang and everything from regular country music. It's different.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And people's, you know, what's interesting is that it fell out of favor when once country music came in and got much more polished sounding. Mm-hmm. Bluegrass kind of died away, except on the college campuses. And it's really been the young people, and even today, it's the youth. There are now bluegrass festivals all over the country all the time. My daughter travels around with her band, and there are thousands of people there. People are loving it because it's got this vibration. It's got this lift, you know, and it takes an incredible amount of skill to play at the speed that they play. It's unbelievable.
I take guitar lessons, okay? And so my guitar teacher, shout out to Ralph. How you doing, Teacher Ralph? He plays the banjo. The banjo is not a guitar. No. It is not a guitar. To play it, to pluck it, the strings, everything is a lot different. So I love it. I absolutely love it. So what is the infinity wave, and how does all of that fit into what you do?
Okay, well, this is what happened 10 years ago. So I was already, had been dowsing for many years, and learning how to work with the dowsing rods in a way that didn't limit me to yes and no questions. This is where the intuitive part comes in. I wouldn't tell anybody else when I teach dowsing, I say yes and no questions to start with. But for me, I had found a way to work with it that opened the window to a different way of asking. So I was, in 2010, I had been in a very challenging year that year, and I was really desperately low in every way, energetically, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So I went to sound healing workshops to sort of get juiced up again. And it ended up that I actually went on a shamanic initiative journey. I didn't know that's what was going to happen, but that's what happened. And when I came home, I was really delightfully empty of story. I left it all over there. I emptied myself out. And right at the very end of that workshop, I had asked, I was so moved by my experience that I said to Spirit inside, I said, I am a willing vessel, do with me what you will. I was just, I surrendered completely.
Surrender, here's to you.
down on the ground. I didn't physically do that, but that was my inner experience. And so I came home delightfully empty. You really could have called me any name and I would have answered.
Wow.
And then about 3 days later, I was here with a friend, and all of a sudden I had a vision. Mm. I had, which I'd never had before. And I saw this massive wave of beautiful turquoise water coming towards me, like 100 stories high. Mm. It wasn't scary. It was beautiful. And there was a byline with this wave. And the byline said, this wave represents a push of evolution that is going to be wrapping around the planet and getting anchored in at the end of 2011. If you try to resist this push, it will not go well. If you learn to swim with it or surf it, your evolution will proceed more easily. So I'm like, looking at this thing.
Like, that's an aha moment. You're like, well, what the heck?
Right? And then the wave turned to the side so that I was looking at it curling as if it was a letter C, you know? It's right. Coming up. Curling, like the surfer would shoot through that.
Right.
You've seen that many times.
Oh, tubing.
Tubing, exactly. So this letter C was hanging there like this. And that byline said, as the water pulls away from the shore to deepen into the seabed to get its energy to create the crest, so should you, meaning me, but meaning all of us, so should you leave all your knowing, all your book learning, leave it on the shore. Go to the earth. Go to the depths of the earth, the wisdom of the earth, and the wisdom keepers of the earth for your knowledge. And then mix it in with this incoming push. Okay, that was the second vision. And then this letter C of water, it didn't just fall down back into the ocean. it turned into this figure eight.
Wow.
Made of flowing water.
Hmm. And you're seeing this. You're
I'm seeing it this way.
Right.
Not with these eyes, but this way.
Right.
So then this figure eight of flowing water hung out in front of my head for 3 days. There was no byline with it. I had no idea what this was, and it was starting to get a little annoying. So
you think?
I sat down with my rods, and thank God I had been dowsing for all those years, because I was able to understand that this figure eight had a name, that this was a representation of an energetic,
right.
And the name of it was the infinity wave. And what the energetic is a 10th dimensional gift for us and the planet to help with this push of evolution that I think we can all now say we are in fully.
Yeah.
And that if we learn this flexibility, if we take on this flow, and most importantly, embedded in this water is a 10th dimensional level of love and compassion, which is off planet, so distilled, it's something we don't really have access to so much.
Right.
I
mean,
we're in here in 3D. So this 10th dimensional love and compassion in this watery flow creates a completely different reality. So you asked the question of me before we got on here, you know, sort of what floats your boat? And what gets me excited is when science and spirituality come together. Well, I have been working with this infinity wave now, you know, on my own, and I'm sharing it. I've done workshops. I've done lots of interviews. I've been working with it now for almost 10 years. Hmm. And what I'm finding is that the science that Lynn McTaggart and Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden and Joe Dispenza are all working with in terms of rearranging reality, it's all coming forth. So the infinity wave can be applied within our own fields. We all know we have these toric fields, right?
Right.
Tube torus, big field, like a big apple.
Right.
And when we apply any thought to that field, it changes the vibration of that, of our tube torus, right? If we go into a dark place and we start to get angry or whatever, upset, the tube torus shrinks and we don't feel so good. It gets dark. Whereas if we think kindly and gratitude and love and compassion, the tube torus expands and that resonance moves even further out than where our field is.
So I'm thinking frequency, because that's what I'm tuned into. So that makes it sense. Now, is this considered, because this is heavy, okay? And, you know, it's like a book. You have to go back and practice it. You have to understand it. So I'm trying to get it. And I'll get it. I'll be calling you a little bit more. Can you give us an example of dowsing? Can I ask a few questions and see how the dowsing actually works? Oh my goodness, that's what I want to ask now. Okay, so you put them in here. I'm gonna look at that. They're just moving.
Well, you always have to ask, can I, may I, should I, before you start.
That's with any energy field. I was with this, met this one, I wasn't with this woman, but I met this woman one time, and she said that she was a spiritual healer. And, you know, I don't believe everybody, okay? And she got next to me, and she said, if I have permission to enter your space, I want you to move one way. And then if I don't have permission, I want you to move another way. Girl, I put those feet firm on the ground. I was like, I'm not going to get caught up in no trickery. She said, may I enter your space? My body just jolted. I mean, the energy. So when there is a spirit, there's a force, there's an energy, there's nothing that you can do. Okay, so now how should I phrase my question. How should I do this?
Well, first I want to tell you that what you experienced is called body dowsing.
It was. I mean, I felt like, you know, that's, she was serious. I was scared to deal with her after that. I said, oh, God, you are the Force, okay? I thought I was with Darth Vader's wife.
It's not her. It's not her. And you can go into a grocery store and you can stand there when you're looking at two products and you can't decide which one to buy. You can put them side by side and look at one and say, if I'm supposed to buy this, make my body go forward. Or if I'm supposed to buy this one, make my body go forward. So then you do it. And you'll find yourself going forward or backwards.
Wow.
It's great. Anyway.
All right.
So okay. Give me an idea of the topic and then I'll help you phrase it. And remember, this is not fortune telling.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask a question about travel. Am I going to have an amazing time when we go on our cruise to Italy?
Okay. So now I'm going to give, this is great, great lesson time. So what you just asked me was a fortune telling question. And now I'm going to ask it in a dowsing way. Okay.
Okay.
Is it in April's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to go on a cruise to Italy? Yes.
Wow.
See, there's an assumption. So I always have to step back from the assumption. Oh, yes, you may have bought your tickets and you may be already, you know, packing your bags. But for me, I have to step back from anything that's happened and not make the assumption that you're automatically going. I need to step back here and go, wow, is it in her highest good to do that? Well, okay. Yes, it is. Well, good.
Now you got me on fire with my brains. I'm going to ask two more questions.
Okay.
The first one, am I going to be able to, succeed in my weight loss challenge with my new trainer? Am I going to be able to downsize?
So let's say, what is your trainer's first name?
I haven't really picked one yet.
Oh, okay. So let's ask it this way. Is it in April's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to hire a trainer in order to lose weight and get her body back in shape? Okay. Now, for some reason, they're saying no. Wow. Is it in April's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to hire a nutritionist? Yes. Is it in April's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to join a gym if you don't already go to one? Yes. So now now I'm starting to hear things, okay?
Oh, boy.
The question is not so much if it's in your highest good to hire a trainer. It's the order of events,
right?
Okay? So at some point, hiring a trainer will be in your highest good. But the first thing you need to do is get the nutritionist. And do you already belong to a gym?
I do belong to a gym. I do.
Okay. And the second thing is to, they're saying increase your time at the gym. And, but they want you to make the changes with the nutritionist first.
Okay.
Let me just ask this. At what point in time, let's say April starts this, you know, in the next week. At what point in time would it be appropriate for her to hire a trainer? In a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, six weeks.
Shut the front door. In 6 weeks? Okay. Oh, wait, I'm writing this down. Brains, I'm going to come back and report to you, okay? But again, it's 80% diet, 20% exercise, but I was watching your hands.
No. That's not what it says. It's not 80% diet and 20% exercise. It's that I think what they're saying is it's too much to take on all at once because changing your diet is going to take a certain amount of focus and attention. And if you add a trainer onto that, it's going to be an overwhelm. So these are the words they're dropping into my head.
Now you say they. You say they. Who
I say they. They're my, you know, it's the universe, it's the guide team, it's whoever it is.
Angels, is it, I mean, give me something I can relate to. Is it an energy? Is it a feeling? You know, again, when you're dealing with the spiritual realm, people have to understand, you're still grasping for straws. You're still trying to hold on to the quote unquote, what we feel and what we see as the normal. You know, like this is a table or this is a chair. You don't understand when you're dealing in the spiritual realm, this is not something that you can just see. So I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But I think that's why it's so scary for a lot of people, because it's invisible.
You know, everything, I like people to learn how to douse because I like them to overcome that fear. It was a huge passage for me to overcome fear. And I think that's one of the main things that we're here to do as human beings in this world, is to confront and overcome fear, because that's when we're free. I'm not saying anything that nobody does, that people don't know. Invisible, yes, but only because our eyeballs and don't allow us to see so much that's there.
Right.
We only have this teeny weeny little frequency, you know, little tiny.
Right.
A little blurb, doesn't reveal. A little dot. But there are people who can see these things, and they do see these things. One of the other things I do is I take groups around the world. I was just coming back from Peru and Chile and Easter Island, and I do the infinity wave. It's kind of like workshops on the go.
Right.
And so we did a group infinity practice, and one of the participants is somebody who can see. And she saw this golden light going around, and I mean, she can really see it. So, you know, not everybody has that. So it's a question of how much are we willing to trust that right. which we can't see. We can't see electricity either.
No, you can't. You can't see the air.
Nope.
But you know this. All right, let me ask one more question, and this is for my brains.
Okay.
Okay, as we conclude our interview, are we going to be able to raise the level and the frequency and the goodness and the joy that we have had over the last 9.5 years on the edge? That's a loaded question.
Well, it's a fortune-telling question, so I want to think about how I want to phrase it.
Is it in our highest good to stay on the edge?
Yes. Is it in everybody's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to continue staying on the edge with April's program? Is because April's program is... You see how fast they're moving? They're going wow. in and out. They're like, yes, 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 yes. What April's doing is really positive. And so, you know, that's a shot in the arm to you, and that's a shot in the arm to the community that you've created. What a beautiful, I now really feeling your community, and they've got beautiful hearts and beautiful souls, and what you're doing and how everybody's coming together it's just fantastic. Boy, I'm so happy to meet everybody. Oh,
yes.
That's nice.
Well, thank you. You are so wonderful. And you know what? You got the perfect name, because Hope Fitzgerald, okay? Because you are providing hope. You're providing options. And this has really been interesting. Again, Brains, I don't know everything, but I'm going all over the planet to find everything. New, different modalities, different conversations, different aha moments. It works for some, it doesn't work for others, but I'm liking this dowsing. Please, Hope Fitzgerald, tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want to know more about the Infinity Wave and what you're doing. And you're also going to be writing a book.
I'm working on it. So my website is www.we-infinity.com. We-infinity.com. I have a Facebook page with my name. I have a Facebook page called Wave Energy Evolution, because this is all about conscious evolution. And I'd love for people to jump into my Infinity Wave Facebook group, which I just started and I'm really psyched about. And I'm going to be sharing all kinds of goodies in that group. So
well,
come on in.
Out. I'm going to have to figure out how to give me some L rods.
Oh, I can tell you how to do that for sure.
You know, because it's interesting. And so I want to thank you so much for spending time with us here on The Edge. I think that you're awesome sauce. You're going to have to turn us on to your new place because you've got a sustainable, renewable place right now. I can only imagine what your next residence is going to be like. Thank you again, Hope Fitzgerald. And please come back to The Edge and keep us in tuned.
Thank you, April. Big, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Brains, change your frequency. Bye-bye.